This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go.
Hear your voice, carried in the rhythm of the wind. You call me out.
join us for a word of prayer.
God, we come into this place to worship you, to adore you, to honor you, to praise you, because truly you are great and greatly to be praised. You are great and you are worthy of our praise. You are good and you are worthy of us just pausing from all that is in this world, from all that is happening in our lives, to just take the time to say, God, you are great. God, we thank you for your goodness and mercy toward us. God, we thank you for your love that is inconceivable and unconditional. God, we thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. We don't have to try to get by on last week's grace because you're blessing fresh every day. And for that, oh God, we say thank you. We say thank you, Lord God. Bless this body of believers, strengthen us, equip us, empower us to represent you well in this world. Bless this community, oh God, the nation we live in, and this war-torn world of yours. God, thank you for holding us in the palm of your hand, and we thank you that your grace is so very sufficient for every need that we could name before you this day. Thank you, Lord, for blessing like only you can. In Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Holding nothing, withholding nothing. And the Bible says, then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Friends, hear these words from John, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 1, about one who knew she was loved and knew what it looked like to love the Lord back. We could never repay Christ for what Christ has done, but we can give our all in worship to him, in service of him. That's our topic today. Is that everything? Have you given your everything today? So hear these words about a woman who gave her everything. John 12, beginning with verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Friends, I wonder, what is your most prized possession? And what would motivate you to give up that thing? What could compel you to sell that prized possession and give all the money away? Perhaps it's a car you have waited a long time to be able to afford. Or maybe it's a car that's reached vintage status since you first started working on it with your father or grandfather. Is it a home that you filled with the people you love and the things you love over the years? Your prized possession might be a cheap piece of heirloom jewelry, not especially expensive, but you feel like royalty when you wear your grandfather's ring or your daddy's watch. Maybe you're a collector, fine art, comic books, or something invaluable in your eyes? What is your most prized possession? And what would motivate you to give it up? What could compel you to sell it and give all the money away? Maybe your answer is nothing. I don't love nothing and nobody like that, Pastor. Or maybe your answer is nothing because you thought of something, but you still know you wouldn't part ways with it for anybody that you know. Well, maybe in the face of death, you might. Maybe you'd sell a little something if it meant you could help someone afford a life-saving treatment or rebuild a home. Maybe in the face of death, you could part with your prized possession. The well-being of a loved one is exactly what motivated Mary in our gospel reading today. The desire to bless a loved one, to bless Jesus, was far more important than the pound of perfume that she anoints his feet with. It was no doubt her most prized possession. Imported from India, not something she could easily replace. Yes, it was expensive, but irreplaceable simply for how long it took to get a package from India, the faraway land, to her beloved little Bethany. Her prized possession was worth more than 300 denarii, which Judas tells us is a year's wages. A year's wages. 12 months of working, 365, 52 weeks, probably no vacation. A year's wages in that little precious perfume. First of all, can you even imagine owning some cologne that costs, in our era, let's say $20,000, $50,000? And if you can imagine having a $35,000 bottle of perfume on your dresser, can you imagine using it all at one time? And if you can imagine having $45,000 worth of perfume and using it all at one time, can you imagine breaking it open, using it all at one time on somebody that ain't even you? While her sister Martha offered her best gift, hospitality, cooking, serving, taking care of everyone, Mary got her prized possession, her best gift, ready. While her brother Lazarus offered Jesus the gift of companionship, hanging out with him, reclining at the table, the text says Mary got her gift ready. And I'd like to believe that she didn't compare her gift to her sister or brother as better or worse. And I would like to believe that Jesus received all of their gifts graciously and in the same spirit that it was given to him. And I hope that that's good news for somebody today that hasn't given their all because of how you believe it compares to somebody else's all. I wonder, are we guilty of withholding anything from the Lord? I wonder if we've given the best of our time, talent, our gifts, our service, our witness. I wonder, does God get our best? Mary poured out her all, her everything before Jesus, and he didn't have to ask us as he sometimes, he didn't have to ask her as he sometimes asks us, is that everything? Is that everything? Is that the best praise you have for the ways that God made this week? Is that your absolute best financial offering despite the fact that all your bills are paid today? Is that your best testimony, your best witness when goodness and mercy have been chasing you down every single day? Is that everything? It reminds me of the coffee commercials from the 70s and the 80s for Maxwell House. The advertisement said that the coffee was good to the last drop, I heard somebody. And I don't know if you're like me, but I believe in getting the last drop out of everything. Amen. An ink pen, I'ma carry around three of them that are half working because the next time I pull it out, it might write three more words. So you still riding with me. Good to the last drop. Mike and I just talked about the ink in the printer this morning. Now I changed 3 cartridges, but one of them just say low. To the last drop. Not till you stop printing am I going to change the blue. I believe in getting the last drop out of my water bottle, out of the lotion. I believe in getting the last drop out of toothpaste. I don't cut it open no more, but I am gonna fold it up a few times. I believe in getting the last drop out of perfume too, especially costly perfume. So I know if you like me, you'll have that bottle with just a, it's just a corner. You have to turn it ever so slightly if you're gonna get one more squirt out of it. But I believe that it's good to the last drop. Because I'm an economist, in other words, cheap, because I'm an economist, I mean to get the last drop. Friends, Mary spared no expense. She wasn't trying to get the last drop for herself. She didn't save a single drop for her, but she poured every bit of that perfume at the Savior's feet. And I wonder, is that our story? Now, I'm gonna usher one Sunday a month, but I can't be at church every week. Well, I gave my regular offering and it was good, but I don't even understand what benevolence is. Last drop. If I'm coming here for church council, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to Bible study tomorrow, too. I wonder if Jesus gets the last drop out of our discipleship, or if we're saving a little bit or quite a bit, a lot of bit, for ourselves. Are we saving our time for us, our talent for us, our gifts for us, our service for us? Mary gives us an example of what it means to give ourselves away. She shows us how to really sing, "My life is not my own, to you I belong." Mary offers the answer from the hymn that asks, "Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the spirit control." She shows us how to declare that we are withholding nothing. Mary shows us, and so does Christ. Ephesians 5 and 2 says it this way, imitate Christ. It says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, it was common for Paul to use this language of imitation. Imitate this church, imitate the people in this community. But the highest use of that phrase of imitation was to imitate Christ. Imitate your Lord and Savior by pouring out your all. Imitate Jesus by loving as Christ loved us. Friends, when we truly pour out our all in love, there will be some evidence, because our faith has a fragrance. Ephesians said Christ was a fragrant offering. John says that Mary's perfume filled up the whole house. And so I wonder, we have to think about you. We all know somebody that overdoes it on the cologne. And even before they come in the Sunday school room, you can smell them from the foyer. We all know somebody who 2 days after they rode in your car, their fragrance is still lingering. And that's what it's asking about us. Can people smell it on you? Can they tell that you are a disciple? What is the fragrance of your faith? In biblical times, y'all, we know that their prayers would be accompanied by a sacrifice, animals. Now, truth be told, we know that burning flesh with a snake, right? It wasn't like a good barbecue, you know, you waiting for the brisket that last hour to be. No, it wasn't like that. It would have had a strong stench, a strong smell that would fill the whole temple, that they might even smell outside in the temple courts because there weren't ceilings in the church. And so what is the fragrance of our faith? And does it really fill the space? Does the world know that we are who we say we are? The fragrance of Christ's faith smelled a lot like blood, sweat, and tears. It smelled like the blood that came streaming down for you and for me. It smelled like the water that came bursting out of his side, living water, we now say, that refreshes us. But it had to smell like the sweat. We just talk about the sweat of his brow, but the sweat of his whole body dragging that cross up the hill for us. It had to smell like the tears even that he cried over us, knowing that some of us would reject his love, or some of us would refuse to love like he loved. That's what Christ's faith smell like. What does our sacrificial love smell like? It might smell like loving your neighbors or cutting back on our wants to help someone else that's really in need. It might smell like living like a true disciple. What do you mean by true disciple, Pastor? Well, the actual disciple is Judas, and he's showing up selfish in the room, worrying about how they're going to use money that ain't even his. The woman who society would not have said is eligible to be a disciple is showing up generously, giving generously. That's what I mean by true discipleship, not what you call yourself, not how you talk it out, how you walk it out. The actual disciple, Judas, is preparing to betray Jesus. The woman is preparing Jesus for betrayal and death. Hear these words beginning with verse 4. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. Now, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Friends, our motives matter. We said last week when we talked about the prodigal brothers that the spirit with which we work for the Father matters as much as the work that we do for the Father. And knowing that Judas's spirit wasn't right, Jesus answered, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." We will always have the poor among us. So maybe, just maybe, the fragrance of our faith, the sacrifice of our love should somehow bless the poor. Let's think about it. Over 40 million people in the United States alone, including one out of every five children, is living in poverty. An additional 97 million people are labeled as low wage, low income. Altogether, that means that nearly half of the American population, one in two people, every other somebody, is considered poor. The poor you always have with you. The top 1% of the population owns 43% of the wealth. The bottom 80% is left with just 7% of wealth. And we haven't even calculated the difference that race and gender can make when it comes to poverty. The poor you will always have with you. And sometimes inequality feels like this undefeatable foe because we know we're not just fighting people, we're fighting systems that were designed to oppress people in this way. And when we fight a system, we know that that's not just a random entity, but that's comprised of people and the values that folks hold that allow you to construct an entity for the purpose of oppression. Deep set values that create the problems of racism and sexism and oppression in all forms that our baptismal vows tell us to resist. the poor you will always have with you. Friends, folks have interpreted that phrase in different ways, mostly to excuse our inaction or our lack of service to the poor. But I want to remind you that grammar matters. And in the biblical language, the phrase can be read, you will have the poor with you. Or it could be read, have the poor with you. Have the poor with you. Don't leave them on their own. Keep the poor among you. Don't think that you're too good and separate yourselves because you got a little something, something. The poor you will always have with you. Have the poor with you always. Friends, this phrase isn't a negative way of thinking. Jesus, like, well, it don't matter because they're going to always be around. This isn't defeated talk. This is Christ's declaration that automatically comes with a calling. And when he says this to them, he's quoting Deuteronomy 15, verse 11, which says, there will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Therefore, open your hand to the needy. We've been discussing in Bible study that it can be hard to open your hand if you haven't opened your heart. And I wonder, what is the evidence that our hands and our hearts are open to our neighbors in need? Now, the pastor's not asking that you give away a year's wages. Amen. I can't afford to do that. I'm not saying give away a year's wages. I'm asking, do you smile at people when you see them? Do you offer an encouraging word, whether somebody asks you for it or not? Do you just encourage as you go through this world? Do you witness about how God is working in your life? Do you share? Do you have to get the last drop for you? Or can you sacrifice something for someone else? In what ways are our hands and our hearts open? How do we keep the poor among us? That might be the financially poor. That might be the poor in health, the poor in spirit. There will always be poor people in the land, the text says. Therefore, open your hand to the poor and needy in your land. This whole thing is about service, y'all. Mary serves Jesus by washing his feet, by anointing him, as he's only just a few days away from serving us, offering us the ultimate sacrifice that he could ever give. And she serves as he serves at this dinner in their home. Friends, the word used for dinner here is only used in the Bible in this passage and in the Last Supper. The word used to describe the anointing of his feet is only used in this passage and at the Last Supper when Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And so this text, this passage is a prelude for what's yet to come. This story gives us a glimpse of what Ephesians 5 and 2 is talking about. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. A fragrant offering. What is the fragrance of our faith? What does the sacrifice of our love smell like? The power of our sacrifice, the strength of our sacrifice will be tied to our generous hearts. And so I wonder, are we withholding anything? Are we pouring out the last drop of our time, our talent, our gifts, our service, our witness? Are we giving the best of ourselves and the best of our gifts to God? Daily, will you allow the fragrance of your faith to fill the house? And don't leave the Lord asking, is that everything? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.